KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies at 76 degrees here in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly to mostly sunny, breezy, and humid today. A high around 95 with a heat index near 100. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. A 72-year-old man from Omaha was rescued today after falling from a Missouri River bridge connecting Nebraska and Iowa. Dennis Convallin told authorities he dropped his camera while taking pictures Wednesday from the Mormon Bridge, which carries Interstate 680 traffic over the river on the north end of Omaha. He reported that he fell into the river when he tried to recover his camera. Convallin managed to reach a sandbar near the Iowa side, but could go no further because he'd injured his back. Authorities say some anglers heard Convallin's cries for help Thursday night and called police. After his rescue, Convallin was taken to an Omaha hospital. Well, during the past year, the Iowa Department of Transportation has been working on improving the lanes of Interstate 29, Interstate 80 east of the Missouri River and Council Bluffs. And beginning next Monday, construction crews will shift traffic overnight on westbound I-80 and northbound I-29 between 24th Street and the Missouri River Bridge, according to the Iowa DOT's District 4 office in Atlantic. Once that traffic is shifted, a fourth lane for I-29, I-80 will be added at the 24th Street on-ramp. Traffic staying on westbound I-80 at the I-29, I-80 interchange will shift over to the new permanent westbound lanes. Motorists are used to urge caution while becoming accustomed to shifting into those new lanes. The Iowa DOT is in the process of reconstructing I-80, I-29, and I-480 in the Council Bluffs metropolitan area. Fremont County Sheriff Kevin Astrup reports that an investigation following a call about a truck in a ditch Thursday resulted in two arrests. Deputies called to the 1500 block of Western Avenue subsequently took into custody 32-year-old Skip Scalak of Malvern and 33-year-old Tammy Hammers of Thurman. Scalak was arrested for driving while revoked and other pending charges. He was transported to the Fremont County Jail and held on $300 bond. Hammers was found to be in possession of methamphetamine and also charged with four counts of unlawful possession of prescription medication, 271 units, possession of drug paraphernalia, failure to affix a drug tax stamp, and her bond was set at $10,300. Deputies are still investigating the incident. The Fremont County Sheriff's Department K-9 unit assisted in the arrest. The Union County Sheriff's Office says no injuries were reported following two recent separate accidents. Officials say 20-year-old Adam Hoffman of Creston was driving a 2010 Chevy Impala southbound on Yellow Rose Road at around 5:20 a.m. Thursday when his vehicle met a 2000 Chevy driven by 50-year-old Melissa Rodden of Murray at the crest of a hill. Both vehicles were in the center of the road. Hoffman swerved to avoid a collision, but Rodden's car hit the Impala on the left rear side. Damage amounted to $4,000. There were no citations issued, and again, no injuries. The other accident in Union County happened just after 7 p.m. Wednesday when a southbound 2003 Dodge, driven by 36-year-old Sherry Waters of Shannon City, failed to stop at a stop sign for the intersection of 240th and Lark Avenue. Her car hit a 1989 dump truck driven by 29-year-old Trevor Tucker of Creston as he was traveling west on 240th. Damage from the collision amounted to $8,000. Waters was cited for failure to obey a stop sign. Atlantic School District Superintendent Dr. Michael Amstein on Wednesday reported to the school board that the third grade summer school and third grade retention for reading programs have been postponed until the summer of 2018.
Also, and this is a board concern too, is that there's no funding still attached to that. And the latest word is that they will attach funding to that in the next legislative session. We'll wait and see.
Amstein said also that the Smarter Balanced Assessment was put off until May of 2018. In November of last year, the Iowa legislature had begun a formal process of adopting a new state assessment to replace the current state tests in math and reading taken each year by Iowa students. Smarter Balanced Assessments were recommended by a legislatively created task force of Iowans.
At this time, we don't know what our state assessment's going to be. So right now, we're kind of in limbo on what we need to prepare for the upcoming year.
He says it's another case of we'll just have to see what happens. Smarter Balanced Assessments are essentially designed to accurately measure how students have progressed in reaching expectations set by Iowa's academic standards, which outline what students in kindergarten through 12th grade should know and be able to do in math, English language arts, science, social studies, and 21st century skills. Mills County Sheriff's Office yesterday reported 25-year-old Tiffany Nicole Studdy of Red Oak was arrested Thursday morning for driving under suspension. Studdy was taken into custody at around 4:20 a.m. near Highway 34 and 350th Street. She was brought to the Mills County Jail, where her bond was set at $300. Elsewhere in Iowa, work has begun in Iowa on an oil pipeline despite repeated attempts by landowners and environmental groups to stop it. The Iowa Utilities Board signed a final order Wednesday allowing construction on a $3.8 billion, 1,150-mile pipeline. And Lisa Dillinger, a spokeswoman for Texas-based Dakota Access, which is building the pipeline, confirmed Thursday that work is underway. The pipeline will carry oil from North Dakota across South Dakota and Iowa before ending at a storage facility in Illinois. Iowa was the last state to approve construction. Work began last month in the other three states. The project faces at least five lawsuits, and opposition group Bold Iowa said Thursday that 60 members have signed a pledge to risk arrest, if necessary, in nonviolent protests. Despite the wet spring across much of the Midwest, there's still a potential for drought. Doug Clark, a climatologist with NOAA in Kansas City, said most of the Missouri River Basin is far from drought, although some potential dry spots are starting to emerge in the upper basin. Clark says western Iowa shouldn't have anything to worry about, at least not yet.
It's not surprising this time of year. Droughts can happen really fast. Sometimes we call them flash droughts if it gets really hot and winds pick up and that kind of thing. And those are usually agriculturally based impacts.
Clark says the El Nino effect on the weather has passed now with a La Nina pattern likely, meaning that it will be hotter and wetter than normal over much of the region in the months to come.
As far as predictions, right now we're kind of slipping into what we call a neutral tropical Pacific, with La Nina likely developing a little later this summer. And really the impacts from that La Nina tend not to be felt until late fall.
Barges should be running all summer on the Missouri, according to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers hydraulic engineer Joel Kaczynski. He says the upper Missouri River reservoirs do have enough capacity to handle heavy rainfall this spring and the current heavy snowmelt.
The surface level for the remainder of the navigation season and the navigation season length are based on the July 1 system storage check. Under all three simulations, flow support for navigation would be full service, and a full 8-month navigation season would be provided.
Water levels are high on the upper Missouri River reservoirs, but enough capacity remains to reduce flooding while at the same time maintaining barge traffic. He notes that there could be some minor to moderate flooding along the Missouri River, but nothing that poses a serious threat to property. Finally, in state news, a forum next week will focus on the intersection between faith, climate change, and agriculture. Reverend Susan Guy, executive director of the Iowa Interfaith Power and Light, says the panelists will talk about how climate change is altering the face of farming, why the issue is important to them, and how their faith calls them to respond.
We know that there are a lot of people in rural communities who are very dependent on agriculture to make a living, and we know that extreme weather events are really having an impact on them. So we really feel like this is part of our mission to reach out to those who are most vulnerable to the impacts of climate change.
Members of the panel include Fred Kirschenman, a farmer and former director of the Leopold Center at Iowa State University, and Chris Anderson, assistant director of the ISU's Climate Science Program.
Farmers are doing a lot of great things, and they're aware of the impacts of climate change in terms of their planting seasons and extreme weather events and things like that. So we really just want to normalize the conversation about climate change and agriculture and talk about how farmers and rural communities are adapting and mitigating and actually helping to find solutions.
Those solutions include using more renewable fuels and working to make farming operations more energy efficient, in addition to locating wind turbines on their properties to help offset costs. The forum is open to anyone. It'll start 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, June 15th at the Christie 4-H Hall in Nevada. Guy says Iowa Interfaith Power and Light is a nonprofit group dedicated to inspiring and equipping people of faith to become leaders in finding solutions to climate change. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.